and welcome to Twigged,
a lighthearted plant-based podcast exploring the vegetal roots of history and folklore. I'm Alex, and I'm an admirer of plants, both in the wild and on the plate.
I'm Alice, and I'm also a massive admirer of plants, mainly when they are on my plate. In a bowl, on a fork. I'm Alice, and I'm overexcited.
This week, it's our very first ever listener request plant.
Yes.
Rosemary.
Yeah, I love rosemary. It's such a good one.
It's such a good plant. The Latin name, as of 2017, is Salvia rosmarinus, and it used to be called Rosmarinus officinalis, and now they're sort of used interchangeably. So rosmarinus is made up of the word ros, which means dew, and marinus, which is of the sea.
Yeah.
So it's sea dew. And that makes sense because it is said to grow best by the sea because it's native to the rocky Mediterranean coast.
I saw that it did best in the Mediterranean, but because it's a really hardy plant, it is absolutely fine in cooler climates. It can also survive drought, and it tends to flower in warmer climates as well. We don't tend to see rosemary with flowers on because it's a little bit cold here for rosemary to sort of do its best. So yeah, it's a great like sort of starter plant if you want to start planting some herbs.
Yeah, the only thing it doesn't like is frost, I think, which is where I've gone wrong. And mine, I'm hoping, I think mine is starting to come back, but it has died all the way down. And then I cut it back. But hopefully, the last year I think it came back, even though we neglected it over the winter outside. In terms of its connection to the sea, I've got a little story.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah. So this is kind of a slightly tenuous mythological connection between the rosemary and the sea. Cronos was one of the Titans, and he was the son of Uranus, who was the god of the sky, and Gaia, who was the earth goddess. And he and his siblings all had to hide in his mother's body because his father hated them and forced them to hide there. Oh. Obviously, his mother was the earth, so it's, you know.
Okay.
slightly bigger body to hide in than say, your mum or mine.
Yeah, thank God.
But they hated it and their mum hated it and everyone hated Uranus and it was awful. So his mother told him that the way to do it was to cut his father's genitals off with a scimitar in order to separate the heavens and the earth. So Cronos did this, and so Uranus's testicles fell into the sea, which made it foam up, and out of this foam came Aphrodite. And this was sort of the birth. I mean, I think when gods are born, they're born as full adults already. They're not like babies. So I think this
is so weird.
I know.
Who thought of this?
So Aphrodite came out of this semen and sea mix foam, presumably riding on that clamshell from the painting.
I would think so, yeah.
And in some legends, it's said that she emerged from the sea completely cloaked in rosemary.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Although in the painting, she's naked. So,
yeah.
In terms of physical description, most people listening to this will have at least seen a sprig of it at the supermarket somewhere.
Yeah. On your potatoes.
You've almost definitely eaten it. You've probably seen it. But just in case, we're going to give a brief description.
It's an evergreen shrub, and its leaves are like fine little needles, and it does have flowers, although the flowers do tend to grow more in warmer climates, and the flowers can be white, pink, purple, or blue.
Yeah, I think the more common one is blue or purple. I don't think I've ever seen a white or a pink one, but it does apparently exist.
Yeah, funny, I do have a little story about that. So I did read somewhere that apparently originally rosemary, the flowers were white. And then when Mary, the Virgin Mary, was traveling to Egypt, she laid her cloak down on the rosemary. And she's always sort of depicted having a blue cloak. And that is why the rosemary flowers turned to blue.
That's lovely.
Yeah.
As you say, I haven't seen them that often because we live in a non-warm, lovely climate.
Yeah.
But they kind of, when in the pictures that I've seen of them, they look a little bit like orchids. They're really gorgeous.
Yeah. Yeah, they're really nice.
Yeah.
I remember like walking past big rosemary bushes when walking through a pretty little village. Can't remember where, I was really young, in France, and just this like overwhelming smell of the rosemary in the warm weather. It was amazing.
Oh, that sounds glorious.
The smell of rosemary is so good.
Yeah, we'll keep smelling it because I think this brings us quite neatly into can you eat it and other associated medical, fictional or non-fictional uses.
Such a good section.
Listen to that segue. Was that smooth or what?
It's my favorite section of the podcast.
So, can you eat it?
Yes, you definitely can and should because it's a magical ingredient. So I loved rosemary before doing this research and now I love it even more. I'm going to eat it every day.
Amazing. Well, it goes very well with the potato.
Exactly.
It's used in tons and tons of Mediterranean dishes. It goes really well with lots of meats and potatoes. You can infuse it with oil or vinegar. You can make, I used to make a rosemary sugar syrup to mix with sparkling water to have like a little exciting drink.
That sounds amazing. Shall I tell you all about rosemary's best friends?
Please. I would love to hear about rosemary's best friends.
So in my research, actually, it wasn't really research. It was just thinking about what I like to eat. Rosemary plus olive oil plus salt is basically all you need for everything that is delicious.
Great.
Well, some of the best dishes you will ever make are rosemary and garlic roast potatoes. Anything, like any root vegetable, carrots, parsnips, beetroot, butternut squash, just add some rosemary, olive oil, salt, roasted in the oven, and it's amazing. Focaccia as well.
Oh, yes.
Classic rosemary, good
olive oil.
Again
with the olive oil and salt. Yeah.
Yeah. Isn't it just magic?
It really is.
Yeah. I made a really good rosemary pesto, again with the olive oil and the salt, and drizzled it on some soup, and it was amazing.
Oh, I like that.
I do actually have a recipe that I made up myself that has rosemary in it, which we could share.
That would be great. Let's put that. What is it? What is it?
So it's like a vegan lamb with a rosemary and mint rub. It's kind of like a vegan Easter roast made out of seitan.
That's very apt for right now. I mean, this won't come out before Easter, but people can do catch up Easter.
Yes.
So before we get into kind of why it's good for you in medicine stuff, just in terms of using it in food. It tended to be a staple plant in people's kitchen gardens for centuries, basically, because it was really hardy, it was useful in many dishes, and it's easy to grow. And there was a saying that where the rosemary flourishes, the woman rules, which meant that, yeah, if the rosemary was doing really well in your garden, then that meant that the woman of the house was in charge.
Yeah, I heard that.
Yeah. It did make me worry about the fact that mine is pretty much dead. Great. Tell me why it's good for you.
So it turns out that rosemary is basically a superfood. I did not know this until I started researching. I was just eating it because it was delicious, but it turns out it's amazing. So it's really rich in antioxidants and in anti-inflammatory compounds. It's good for boosting your immune system. It improves your blood circulation. It's meant to be a cognitive stimulant, so it helps improve your memory.
Mm.
And it's really, really good for your hair. So you can do some really nice homemade like hair treatments with it. It's just good for everything.
I saw the thing about the hair and that it's meant to be good to counter dandruff. And I did think I might have to do a rosemary rinse for my hair at some point. And then remembered I said I was going to do a nettle one. So I think I'm just going to have to do a lot of hair experiments.
Yeah, maybe you could do the nettle and rosemary together.
Oh, I don't know. What if they like explode?
Yeah.
I definitely feel a lot less hesitant about doing the rosemary one than the nettle one. Because nettle, I'd be slightly worried that I wouldn't boil it enough to not be itchy, but
plus there's not a big smell from nettles, whereas even if it doesn't really do that much for your hair, you'll just have this really great, like, you'll be steaming your head with amazing smells.
Yes. You can't
and
really
that's nice. Even if it's not doing anything.
So, yeah, I also saw that historically it's been used for ailments affecting the brain, liver, heart and eyes. I didn't look that much into the modern one, so I'm really glad that you did. The Babylonians apparently used it for its antiseptic properties, and it's been thought to purify the air as well.
Yeah, I saw that.
Did you see about the during the plague?
Yeah.
Because they thought that the plague was caused by bad odors for quite a long time, they would have a little cloth bag tied with rosemary in it that they could smell to try not to smell the foul odors that they thought caused the plague.
Ah, yeah. So it was thought to have protective energy and that it could protect you against evil spirits and against witches, or it could remove negative energy from your home. And after there was sickness or death in a home, people would burn rosemary to like cleanse the air in the home. They also even burned it in hospitals.
Yeah, I saw that up until the 20th century in some areas of France, they were burning rosemary to purify the air in hospitals. So it's not like ancient history. It's fairly recent.
Oh, and randomly, it might protect you from thieving fairies.
Very handy.
So you may remember in our previous episode talking about trying to stop fairies stealing babies out of cribs. Apparently people used to hang rosemary over the cribs because that would put off the fairies from stealing their babies.
That's great. So just bring loads of rosemary into the home, hang it above your baby, put it under your pillow. I saw that it's been used as an insect deterrent, so you can shove it in your wardrobe and it might stop the moths from being so interested in your clothes. Just shove it everywhere. Cool. At Christmas time, they used to apparently strew the floors with it so that when people walked over it, everything smelled like rosemary.
Oh, wow.
So put it on your floor, put it on your ceiling, put it in your closet, put it on your baby. And did you see the uses of rosemary for combating the effects of age?
No.
So various cultures claimed that smelling rosemary would stop you from aging, or at least from aging visibly. And in the possibly 14th, but this is questionable, maybe 13th century, it was said that Queen Elizabeth of Hungary, and from what I could see, there's no, like, they're not sure which Queen Elizabeth of Hungary this was, which is why the timeline is a bit questionable, because this is not necessarily historical fact. This is not historical, but you know what? Let's call a spade a spade. This is fun folklore. It was said that Queen Elizabeth of Hungary took up drinking a decoction of wine or brandy and rosemary, and it was called Hungary water, like Hungary the country, not hungry. So she was meant to have been in her 70s, but this potion, this Hungary water, was said to have made her so youthful and beautiful that the 26-year-old King of Poland fell in love and proposed to her, which is legend. But in real life, Hungary water was a thing, and it became quite widespread in Europe in the 14th century and afterwards. It was used as a perfume. It was the first alcohol-based perfume. It was used as a face wash, which presumably is what the potentially fictional Queen Elizabeth of Hungary used it for. Also, it was just kind of like a cure-all medicine. Like, you would just take a few drops of it for this and that. So it was around for centuries and centuries, Hungary water. It was a thing. I think it might still technically exist, but it's, rosemary and alcohol base.
Wow.
Rosemary's been used in some way or another for millennia. There are records of it being used on ancient Sumerian tablets that are written in cuneiform. And that's thousands and thousands and thousands of years ago.
Yeah, like apparently ancient Greek scholars used to wear garlands of rosemary around their head to help them remember things.
Yeah, so that's the next bit that I want to talk about is rosemary and remembrance, which is exactly that. This idea that rosemary helps you remember has been around for centuries and millennia. In Hamlet, there's a quote from Ophelia who says, "There's rosemary, that's for remembrance. Pray you love, remember." Shakespeare obviously didn't make this up. It has stood for memory and remembrance for a long time. As you said, the Greek scholars would wear it on their heads. It was thought that if you put it in your bath, it could improve your memory and make you more memorable.
Oh, wow.
Which, I mean, I think probably the making you memorable may be slightly bullshitty, but Napoleon's meant to have bathed in it and used absolutely bucket loads of rosemary perfume.
Remember him. So.
Exactly. That's exactly it. I mean, everyone knows who Napoleon was, and yeah. He was absolutely just dripping in rosemary at all times. It was his favorite. So, you know.
There could be something there.
It was also used at funerals to remember the dead. And people wear rosemary to remember the dead at Anzac Day in New Zealand and Australia.
Oh, really? Oh, I don't know anything about that. Yeah, please tell me more.
It's a day where they commemorate the dead in the war. I think kind of like a Remembrance Day.
Oh, so they wear rosemaries as their symbol of remembrance in the same way that like people over here wear poppies.
I think so.
I also saw that apparently putting rosemary under your pillow helps you remember your dreams.
Oh, that's quite cool.
Yeah, I thought that was cool. Maybe we should try it tonight.
Yeah, I have a tiny, like one tiny bit of green rosemary on my dead rosemary bush. So I don't want to cut all of it off in case I do it further damage, but I'll take a little bit. We could have a little experiment.
Yeah, if nothing else, it'll make your pillow smell really nice. So.
I would like to move us along to rosemary and love/loyalty.
Awesome. Yeah, I've got some bits on this.
Great. I'll open again with a quote because I'm going to be that kind of insufferable
twat. I love it. Is it Shakespeare?
Yeah, it's all I've got. I don't know anyone else.
We love our Shakespeare quotes on this podcast.
So the nurse in Romeo and Juliet, at one point, when she goes off to make an appointment between Romeo and Juliet, says to him, "Doth not Rosemary and Romeo begin both with a letter?" So Rosemary and Romeo both start with a letter R, which presumably in Juliet's mind means, you know, like he must be like the rosemary, which represents love and loyalty and fidelity. And so he must be like true and lovely.
Great logic there, Juliet.
Yeah.
What could possibly go wrong?
And basically the nurse kind of hints that Juliet's been writing poetry or talking about Romeo being like Rosemary. And she then says to Romeo, "She hath the prettiest sententious of it, of you and Rosemary, that it would do you good to hear it." So basically, yeah, she's like, oh God, she just keeps talking about you and Rosemary and like making poetry about you and Rosemary. Which at the time, presumably audiences would know that rosemary was love, but like represented love and fidelity. So they would know the link and be like, oh, she's talking about him and rosemary. She must be pretty into him.
Obviously.
Yeah, exactly.
It was used quite a bit at weddings. It was worn by brides on their wedding day. I don't know whether that was like to show that they were going to be loyal or that they wanted their husband to be loyal. But also apparently they gave it to their wedding guests as a gift because of the whole like faithfulness and fidelity symbolism. And it was also a symbol of fertility.
It's interesting when we think about the associations with Aphrodite, who was the goddess of love and fertility as well. Did you see that Anne of Cleves is meant to have worn it in her hair for her wedding to Henry VIII?
Oh, no, I didn't know that.
Yeah. I mean, that one didn't go super well. So
No. Not always reliable.
No.
So I have some really questionable advice for our questionable advice segment of the podcast.
Oh, I'm so excited.
What was it called again?
Questionable Advice with Alice.
Is that what we called it? Questionable advice or just bad advice? I'm not sure. Bad advice with Alice. So if you are having trouble with love, rosemary is what you need.
Great.
So if you have a few different love interests to choose from and you're not sure who to choose, then you should get some pots and label each pot with your potential lover's name and plant rosemary in each pot. And then whichever rosemary plant grows the tallest and thrives the most, that is the person who will be best for you.
Amazing. How long do you have to wait? Because, I mean, do you let them grow like a couple of inches or do you need to wait several years for it to be a massive bush?
It didn't specify. So just sort of use your best judgment.
Whenever you get bored of waiting, see which one's taller.
And, you know, if they're prepared to stick around for the rosemary to grow, then they're probably worth considering. But also, if you don't have any potential love interests, then don't worry, because there's something else you can do with Rosemary. So you can make a little poppet of yourself. And a poppet is like a little doll that looks like you, and you fill it with rosemary, and that will attract love. Ooh. And also maybe healing energy.
Oh.
Yeah, so rosemary will solve all of your love issues.
I saw another one, which was with a plate of flour.
Oh, no, I haven't seen this.
All right. Well, I mean, you should add this to your repertoire. So if you just would like some certainty in your life and you'd like to know who you're going to marry, what you do is on Midsummer's Eve, which is coming up, put a plate of flour under a rosemary bush, and in the morning, your future spouse's initials will be written in it.
I'll try that.
Yeah.
What if there's no initials under it? Does that mean you don't have one?
That means that you're going to have a very exciting, sexy time.
And what if it's just like my little cat's paw print in it? Does that just mean I'll be an old cat lady?
Yes, that sounds like the best one.
Yeah, me too. That's it. It helps you find a mate, choose a mate, keep a mate.
Great. So Juliet is talking about Romeo and Rosemary, which is great because it represents love and it's a major part of wedding rituals. But rosemary was linked to weddings, but it was also linked to funerals and death rites. So I'm going to fast forward us to the end of Romeo and Juliet.
Awesome.
When Juliet pretends to die, her father is really overcome with grief because he thinks his daughter's dead. And the priest, Friar Lawrence, is telling her father that he shouldn't be sad. He should be happy because she's in heaven now. And isn't that a good thing to want for your daughter more than sort of advantageous marriages, but to be sort of above everyone else in heaven? So he says to her father, I mean, it's quite insensitive, isn't it? But but he says to him, he says, dry up your tears and stick your rosemary on this fair course. And as the custom is, and in her best array, bear her to church. So he's just like, stop crying. Put the rosemary sprig on her, which is customary in funerals, and dress her in her nice clothes and bury her, basically.
No sympathy for you.
So I think there is this play on rosemary of it being like, you wanted a wedding, you got a funeral, there's rosemary involved. Like,
oh God, that's pretty dark. Yeah.
This tradition of putting rosemary sprigs on people as they were going to be buried and it being involved in funereal rites spans across loads of cultures. So yeah. I saw that it was done in Wales, and also sprigs of rosemary have been found in ancient Egyptian tombs. So,
oh, wow.
It's not specific to kind of the British Isles or Europe even. And apparently rosemary oil was also used during the embalming process in ancient Egypt.
Okay.
I like how it's all tied back to remembrance. What it has to do with like death and what it has to do with fidelity, it's all to do really with remembering people who are near and dear to you.
Yeah, it's a really nice one. Lots of really interesting facts and tidbits and bits of folklore and magic and everything.
Thank you so much for listening to Twigged. You can find us on our website, which is www.twiggedpodcast.com.
Our email address is twiggedpodcast@gmail.com.
We've got an Instagram @twiggedpodcast. And Alice has another Instagram where she does incredible vegan recipes called @incidentallyvegan.
Yeah, I think so.
Please tell your friends, tell your family, tell your, you know, anyone you see around. Just start shouting Twigged at people and see if maybe they Google it, and then that'll be nice. Thank you so much for listening to Twigged, and goodbye.
Also, random, Rosemary is a really popular name.
Yes.
I thought there was so she's not really anywhere to go from there.